You, O Christ.
God's grace and peace be with you. You know, once again, one of those stories that you say the gospel of the Lord, thanks be to God, and inside, you know, somewhere you're going, oh, really? Because this is, well, one of those darker stories from our tradition, probably one of the favorite images for artists to duplicate throughout the ages, because it is a powerful and bloody story, and, you know, people tend to like powerful and bloody stories. The point, though, isn't so much that image that's probably in so many of our heads of so many of the classic paintings. That's not really what we're supposed to be carrying away from this text, but it is this understanding of what happens to prophets. Now, you remember from last week that we're in this stage of our year-long discipleship journey through scriptures. We're in this stage of learning what it means to be a disciple. And last week we learned that it means making yourself vulnerable and also making yourself open to receive the word of God and to carry the word of God forth. And basically, that's what a prophet does. Now, a lot of people think that prophecy means foretelling the future. In scripture, that is not what it means. A prophet is not one who foretells the future. In scripture, a prophet is one who speaks God's truth, particularly one who speaks God's truth to power. It is not a comfortable position to be in. Because when you are speaking truth to power, if you have a truth that power, you know, like Herod, doesn't want to hear, it is a pretty risky proposition. And so there's two ways that you can go about this, especially if there is a power that has called you to come and counsel them, and you know that they only want to hear what they want to hear. You can choose to speak the truth they want to hear, the truth, or you can speak God's truth. And those are two very different experiences. And that's why the temptation to be a false prophet, telling folks what they want to hear, is so great. So this is what Mark is getting at for us, is understanding the dynamics of being called to carry God's word into the world. It is not safe. And it is not comfortable. And it's not easy. And there is no guarantee that God is always going to open the prison doors and get you out of there. People die carrying the word of God to powers and principalities that really like the way the world is organized to benefit, you know, human powers and principalities. This is a tough lesson this morning that we hear. And of course, Mark is prefiguring Jesus' own prophetic role as he speaks the truth of God's reign and grace for all people, and the necessity of heeding the word of God to power, including political powers, including religious powers. And they don't like what they're hearing. And Jesus dies for that, as John did. And so it places this dilemma before us, right? Of how we, as disciples called to follow Jesus, how we both receive the prophetic voice and how we might indeed be called to carry with us the prophetic voice. And we can, you know, think, oh gosh, probably all over the place. You can imagine all of those places where you've heard people speaking for God and you've looked at them and thought, yeah, really? I mean, the question is this, isn't it? Is this a true prophet or is this a false prophet? And how do we tell? And we'd like to say that it's super easy to know the difference between a true prophet calling us to obey the difficult and challenging and grace-filled word of God and a false prophet who is actually comforting us with what we want to hear that makes our path a little smoother. It is not an easy thing to discern. When I first started at Grace, I remember my first meeting with the confirmation classes here. And I don't know if any of you all have ever taught confirmation classes. A good many of you have been in confirmation classes. It is usually not the highlight of young people's faith experience in many traditions. I'm just going to be honest about that. Because too long, the church has, I'm just going to own it, the church has used that as an opportunity to try to indoctrinate our kids into what they should think so that we feel good about having taught them what we were supposed to teach them instead of actually nurturing their faith. And so I was talking with the kids about what confirmation is really about, that we're not there to try to say, this is how you have to think, and this is what you have to say you believe. That's not what we're here. But we're here to help you understand your faith because, I mean, the foundations and the basics of our traditions are important to understand. You should know them. You should know what we teach. You should know what Scripture says. You should know what we believe. We should teach you these things. But it is not so that you think the way we want you to think. It is so that you understand the Word of God and the Scripture and the life of the church, so that when you are faced with a choice between discerning whether someone is carrying the Word of God or is a false prophet, you're prepared. Because here's the truth, people. There are forces in this world that try to use our faith against us. There are forces out there that will try to use our faith against us. And that is particularly true if we have faith, but not a great deal of understanding. Because it is easy to take the Word of God and twist it. And to make ourselves comfortable and complacent with doing the things that do not bring healing to us or to the world around us. Right? It is easy to let that word get twisted. And we see it happen in conversations and in the world around us. And it's one thing to understand that we have differences of opinion about our faith. Personally, I think it's a good thing that we don't all believe the same way about God. Because I think it makes us love people who are different from us, which is, as I always say, how God loves us, right? Love the person who's not like you, because that's how God loves you. So we need to have patience and respect for someone who has a different understanding. But the truth of it is that when we are being challenged in our discipleship about what we do, about the forces of this world that are telling us apart, and someone comes speaking a word of God, we got to have some tools for discerning. And that's why we're here. That's why we have a liturgical calendar of readings that carries us on a, it's sort of like the syllabus for your discipleship class. The readings that we do every week, they are planned out to take you on a journey. It's a syllabus for growing in your understanding of your discipleship and your faith throughout the course of the year. Scripture study classes are not to tell you, here's the absolute truth that I know, but you don't. But it is to help you learn to understand in your spirit and your heart. And to be challenged to hear sometimes the things that are uncomfortable. Beloved, prophecy is not an anachronistic concept. It is not an idea that does not belong in our world today. The prophetic voice continues to speak around us, to challenge us to greater wholeness and healing in our world. It is most often spoken in response to power that does not promote the wholeness God desires in our world. And that can be power from anywhere. It can be power from the church. It can be power from our elected leaders. It can be power from economic systems. It can be power from public opinion. It can be power from a lot of different places that needs to be challenged with God's word of mercy and justice. Hear that again. It needs to be challenged with God's word of mercy and justice for everyone. The prophetic voice is one of the more difficult parts of our discipleship. We're usually more comfortable just sort of hanging back with, we're saved by grace through faith, and death has no victory here. That's the part I like best about discipleship, is when it makes me feel good. But the other part that makes me feel good, and the good news in this calling of prophets who are not safe in the world but continue to speak the word of God, the good news in realizing that might be me, it might be you, the good news is this: God will continue to speak wholeness into a world when all the forces of destruction try to oppress. Those forces come from a lot of different ways. But God will continue to speak wholeness and will offer an image of resurrected peace and shalom and connection. God will offer up a vision of resurrected life, not only for our beloved Bob Stein, not only for you and me, but also for our communities and our gatherings and our life together. There is resurrection possible on both sides of our deaths, this side and the far side. So, the prophetic voice. Don't expect that it will also always be easy. Don't expect that you'll always be glad to hear it. But do expect that God will hold you and bless you. God's gift to us is the voice of the prophets who help call us back when we get confused. They call us back. They call us back because God loves us. Thanks be to God.